You ever have to be reminded of anything? Speaking of reminders, am I on? Yes, good. Speaking of reminders, a husband and wife were, getting forgetful enough that they thought they better visit their doctor to get some advice. And so their doctor said, listen, this happens to a lot of people. He said he found it useful to recommend that they start, making little reminder notes for themselves and to write things down, and you won't forget it. And so when they get home, the wife says to her husband, says, listen, he said, would you could you fix me a dish of strawberry ice cream, and maybe you better write it down so you don't forget. And he said, are you crazy? Nonsense. He said, I can remember a dish of ice cream. She said, well, I'd like some strawberries on that with whipped cream. He said, my memory's not that bad. Of course I'll remember. No problem. Dish of ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream. I don't need to write it down. I got it. Goes into the kitchen. The wife hears pots and pans rattling. What the heck's going on in there? Finally, he emerges with bacon and eggs. She looks at the plate and says, hey, you forgot the toast. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Patty. The rest of you, you'll catch up. You'll catch up to that one. But I want to go to 2 Peter this morning, where we've been, and I want to finish our messages from this book by going to the last chapter in the book. And I want to look at some things. I want to talk to you this morning about reminders. About reminders from this book, and looking at chapter 3, as I said, verse 17, where coming to the end, he says, therefore, dear friends. Now, the therefore is there for indicating, to us everything, most everything that was said before we get to this point, okay? So he says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your what? Be on your guard. On guard. So that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless people and fall from your secure position. But he says, on the contrary, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in grace. To him be glory both now and forevermore. And then, if you will, look back to chapter 1, where we've been. That's where we started. So we're kind of bookending this epistle. We started in chapter 1, we're going to finish in chapter 3, but we're going to try to say some of those things that go in the middle, okay? And he says here in verse 12, he says, so I will always remind you of these things. So all of those things that we've been talking about so far, about faith and adding to our faith, remember some of that stuff that we talked about a couple weeks ago, adding to our faith, these are reminders to you. And he says, I know you know them, and you're established in them already. He says, but I think it right to refresh your memory. As long as I'm here, I need to tell you about these things. Then in chapter 3, in verse 1, he says it again. He says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. And he says, I have written both of them as what? Reminders. You see it there? Reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking and to get on with what we're talking about. And then in verse 8, he says it again in so many words. He says in verse 8 of chapter 3, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years like a day. The Lord's coming back. He says, don't forget. I'm reminding you of this. I want you to keep this in your memory. And then where we began in verse 17, he says, therefore, since you already know this, you got this, I'm reminding you of these things. Take heed to them. And then As I already mentioned, he's talking to them about a number of things in regards to Jesus' return. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, "But there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." And then he adds this, "They will secretly introduce destructive doctrines or destructive heresies among you." Secretly they do this. Undercover they do this. Subtly they do this. As a matter of fact, Peter says, there's going to be false teachers among you, peddling false doctrine. Pray with me. And so, Father, as we look into your word this morning, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you would come by your Holy Spirit, and we believe that you have given us of your Spirit that we would be taught by him this morning, in my words, that your voice would be heard in this teaching, that you would help us to learn, that we might grow, even as we're encouraged to do, to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. How's your memory? Have you and your spouse had an incident like the one that I read earlier, you know? How's your memory? Well, let's test it. Who can tell me what Peter's recipe for never falling is? Does it sound familiar? It sounds familiar anyways, right? So, you know, it's like, well, you know, I heard somebody say that somewhere. Oh, yeah, it was here. Now, you know, listen, in asking these kinds of questions, as we do often from week to week, where I may challenge you to remember. And you know, listen, I get it. I get it. There are things that... That bombard us every day. It's like, you know, between Sundays, between the last Sunday and this Sunday. I mean, just take a look at your week, right? And start counting all the things that bombarded you in between last week and this week. You know, from, let's just mention the kids. I mean, that's enough. We could stop right there. You know, the kids and work, you know, and on the road and traffic, and school, and parents, right, Natasha, and all other kinds of things. And then, you know, you're asked to, well, you know, what did we talk about last week? You know, and you're lucky sitting there if you know your middle name right now, right? And don't get me wrong, I get it. You know, I really do. I get it. And so that only underscores for me the need to be reminded. The need to be reminded. And how often is, you know, this book that we just read in here that Peter's saying that sort of thing to them? He says, listen, I know you got it. We've talked about these things time and again. You're well versed in them. They've become a part of your lives. But he says, I need to remind you about these things. And so there's something that we need to really pay attention to right now in the reminders. Now, I kind of look at it this way. You know, you're going to say, duh. But why are reminders necessary? Why are reminders necessary? Well, as I said, duh, reminders are necessary because we forget. We forget. Who doesn't forget, right? And so the reminders help us to remember, especially remember those things that, boy, this is important right now. And you know, I need to keep in front of me what's important. Also, reminders are necessary because they highlight what we once learned, and they again, they bring it to our remembrance. Hey, you know, I got that. And so we all know that one of the laws of learning is repetition. Repetition is an important law of learning. And so by the reminders that come to us, it's a form of repetition that we really learn it. You know, I like what C.S. Lewis often talks about when he talks about Christianity and learning. And he says, you're about to get the education of your life. You know, Christianity isn't about unscrewing this and setting it over here because it's all, you know, emotion. Heaven forbid. You're about to get the education of your life in Christianity. It's just how that education happens to us. And so they highlight what we once learned. And it brings it back to us again. Very important. I'm going to remind you of these things, he says. And then perhaps one of the most important things, at least this is how reminders work in my life when I'm reminded of something, and that is the reminders often spark for me new insights, new challenges. And I see with the reminder new light. New light dawns into that thing that, you know, okay, you know, I got that, I know that. And I don't know it enough not to be reminded of it, because with the reminder comes an expanding of that thing, a growth in that thing. Wow, this is going to bring me to a new level. And we see this kind of thing happening here in Peter, 2 Peter, Simon Peter. And so Pastor Simon Peter reminds us. And, I know that the challenge in, you know, I think for every pastor, and my challenge is to, you know, often ditch the old stories. Hey, come on, you got to give it to me. That story, that joke that I told this morning, you never heard that before, right? I mean, that's a miracle. You never heard that before. I mean, that is. And my kids, they never heard that before. That's a miracle, you know? And there is that challenge. You know, if we're going to remind, and I think that a part of, you know, our work as pastors is to do what Pastor Simon Peter is doing in this passage. Hey, I got some things to remind you of. But the challenge is to, you know, tell it differently, at least use different names, you know. And that's the challenge, coming up with ways in which to deepen it, to spark new insights, and so on. And here, you know, Simon Peter's a good pastor, and he's reminding them, and he's reminding us of a couple of things, and so I want to look at those couple of things in between chapters one and where we began, the end of chapter two, and so he reminds them, even as he says the first thing, to jumping off from verse 17 of chapter three, where he says, to be on guard. To be on guard. What does it mean to be on guard? Well, I'm going to be attentive. You know, it's like, for me, being on guard is like, you know, standing at a crosswalk ready to cross the street in New York City. I'm going to be watching. You say, I don't worry. You know, they stop at the red lights in New York City. You know, no problem, you know. No. When the light starts blinking for me to cross, I'm still going to pay attention to everything that's happening to get across. I'm going to be on guard. And that's what it means to be on guard. Be vigilant. Be watchful. You know? And the consequences are, even as he says here, so that you're not carried away by the error of lawless people. And as I already hinted at, and we'll talk about this before, that there are people intent upon destroying our faith and our walk with Jesus. Did you know that? There are. And he tells us that here in this passage. He says, you've got to be on guard about it. Carried away. Whenever I think of carried away, I think of myself in the unfortunate situation of being on a boat on the Niagara River and running out of gas. I mean, that's scary. How many of you have seen the Niagara River? Been to Niagara Falls? So a couple of you? I mean, it's just wonderful. It was one of our favorite places. We didn't live too far away from the falls, and we would go often, Sandra and I. I've even been there in the wintertime when the ice comes across, and just spectacular. But the Niagara River is impressive for the way in which it's being, the current is carrying it over the falls. And this is the idea here, that you got to be on guard, because there's some bad stuff happening. And if you're not on guard, you'll go right over that. It will carry you right over the falls. Yep. The intent is to destroy your life. And so he says, be on guard. And the first thing he says, be on guard, that you, as we said in chapter 1, this is by way of my reminder to you of where we've been. He says, you got to be on guard to add to your faith. You got to make every effort. Now, he talks about this. He says, because you got to have a firm footing in faith. Because there are some things that are going to come against you, especially when you talk about people who are peddling false doctrine, people who are peddling false things about the faith that we believe. Man, if you don't have these things in your life and in my life that Peter says to add to your faith, you're open season on you. Open season. And so he says, you got to be on guard. You got to be serious. Even as he says here, make every effort. Do the work. Do the work of adding these seven things, as we mentioned here, to your faith. If you had to pick one of those seven things you really need to work on, what would it be? I mean, it's hard to pick from, isn't it? It's like all of them. You know, all of them. I had a situation last week after our wonderful Sunday service where Sandra got to me and I lost my self-control. And I started hollering or saying something. I don't know, you know. Well, I know this never happened to any of you, you know. And it's like, well, I guess I got some self-control to work on in my life. So if I had to pick, and I mean, I apologize. It took me a few days because I wanted to make sure that she understood where she was wrong also. I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? It's being honest, and then it's like, well, I'm sorry if you see the error of your ways. But regardless, but Seriously, though, I saw that, boy, you know what, Rulowitz? You got some self-control issues that you got to work on. And so I would pick self-control. What would you pick? Yeah. So be on guard. You got to be on guard because there are things out there, there are people out there who want to undermine your faith in mind. And having these seven things in our lives makes our faith strong to be on guard against those things or those people. Here's the second thing. He says to be on guard against false teachers. Chapter 2. Be on guard against false teachers. Now, you know, one of the things that I have found is that is this. In my 4 decades of serving Jesus in ministry and my 45, however many years it is, of knowing the Lord, Christians are gullible. Gullible. And there's a reason for it. Because, you know, we want to be open, right? We want to be open towards the Lord. We want to be open towards other people to receive. And we want to be gracious and all of that stuff, that kind of thing. But gullibility is not one of the attributes that we're told to add to our faith. And I kind of look at it this way. An open mind is like an open window. It needs a screen to keep the bugs out, you know? And to realize that there are, and notice what he says here in chapter 2. He says, secretly, secretly. So that, listen, Christian, it's a very real thing that there are those who purport to be Christians and Christian leaders and teachers who are peddling false doctrine. And to acknowledge that, to be aware of that, there is nothing wrong with that. To have a healthy dose of good skepticism about, so especially if we don't know the person or persons, you know, that's not finding fault with. That's not being critical of someone. That's being smart. That's testing what's coming across. Hey, you know, is this Is this accurate here? Is this the truth? Is this gospel truth? And to realize that, well, you know, I'm on guard here, because it's very, very clearly spoken in the Word that there are subtleties where it's not just false teachings, but there are false teachers. And I'll tell you what, our airways, our TV, people who got these big shows, whatever, some of the worst false teachers that you can possibly imagine. Please be careful. Whoever is, or whoever is, you know, your favorite podcast person, all these things, you know, say, well, look at the following they got. Who cares? As though that's a sign that what they're speaking is the truth. It's no. Who cares from the aspect of, hey, we need to weigh here what's being said. And so as your pastor, I feel as though I'm being a good pastor, a good shepherd, by sounding this warning, and I'm not sounding... Listen, read the whole of 2 Peter chapter 2, where he says, be careful of these people. Then he talks about the demise that's coming, the judgment that's coming on false teachers. Scary. And you say, oh, you know, just love, you know, don't be so unkind. When you read this, you say, ay, ay, ay. God means business. That's right. God is serious about protecting not only the integrity of His Word, but the love that He has for you and me. Think about the way in which you protect your own children. You wouldn't want your children sitting down to a meal that's laced with arsenic, would you? Heaven forbid. Come on, moms. You know, this is almost a crazy illustration, or, you know, a sophomoric illustration. But at the same time, God is he is very serious about this with us, especially because we have a tendency to be gullible as Christians. Yeah, we need to have this. And then especially because of this, how many times have you heard it said, oh, don't judge, just love. Don't judge. And you're mixing things up here. You're mixing apples and oranges. We don't judge from, criticizing someone as a fault finder. Oh, that's wrong. But heaven forbid, we are taught by Jesus to judge when it comes to a matter of what's true and what's false. When it comes to who is a true teacher, a true prophet, and who's false one, and to call them out. I'm going to stay away from them. Okay, how are we doing? So I'm reminded, you know, and who doesn't know this stuff that we're saying, that Peter's talking about? You know, we know this stuff. I'm reminding you. And then the last one is to Peter reminds them, when we get to chapter 3, he reminds them against forgetting the Lord's return. He says, be on your guard. Don't forget, Jesus is coming back. This is big. That's the way it can seem. That's true. As he says here, that 2 days, 2,000 years. A day is 1,000 years. That's what he says. Because going on in this chapter, chapter 3, is that during their time, now this is just, well, maybe 60 years after Jesus, his ascension. And already they were, of course, they immediately taught, Jesus himself taught, that he was going to be coming back again the second time. Jesus taught that. And already, as they were teaching that, there were people who were saying, nonsense. When's he coming? You know, it's been 10 years, been 30 years. You guys talk about this, he's coming, you know, and I don't see him. Where is he? And especially when it comes to connecting the second coming to how you're living today. See, connecting the second coming to how you're living today. The idea being that, and Peter talks about this here, because he says, look at verse 14. He says, so then, verse chapter 3, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, that is, as you are looking forward to what? Jesus' second coming, his return. He says, make every effort. There's those words again. Make every effort. Do your best. Work hard at what? He says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. The idea is, make every effort not to be sloppy in the way you live, because he's returning. And we understand from his second, we understand from the second coming of Jesus, when he returns the second time, it's all over. It's all over. And it's all over, and it's going to be, there's going to be a separation made at that time, and judgments pronounced based on whether or not we have lived our lives in the light of his coming. And he says, there are people who are saying, where is he? You guys got that all wrong. He's not coming back. Listen, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody is going to heaven. That's the way we're made to feel. It's big. Everybody's going, so what's the big deal? Listen, okay, you know what? You did this, he did that, she does that, but you know what? He was a really good person. She was a really good person, you know? And it's nonsense. That's the same sort of thing that was going on in chapter 3, where they were watering down Jesus' second coming, watering it down. There are things that I don't do. There are places that I will not go. There are things that I watch that I will not say. Why? Because I'm living in the light of his coming. And I know when he returns, he's coming back and he's going to call my life into account. And he's going to call your life into account. And you've heard me say this before. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. Not everybody gets to go to heaven. And so, as he is speaking here, Peter is saying to us, be on guard. Don't forget Jesus is coming back. Okay, it's been many years, but he's coming. He's returning. And the idea isn't, how many times since Jesus himself said to us, he's coming back a second time, have there been people who have given dates and times of Jesus? You can't even enumerate them. 88, I still remember them. I can still see the book. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988. This is now 2017. Jesus didn't return in 1988. And so, if I'm not mistaken, I think that person who wrote that book, Christians bought into that. Look at Y2K. Look at Y2K. I know Christians who hunkered down. This is it. They bought, you can't imagine what they did. What Christians did. This is it. The end times is upon us. You know? I can't say. That's not the important thing. That we get the Jesus himself said, don't worry about the day. He said, that's in God's own mind. He says, what you got to worry about is this, that whatever the day, you're ready. Whatever the day, you're ready. See, don't be on guard against forgetting that the Lord is returning. That I'm on guard against that. That if Jesus were coming the next hour, it's like, ready. Ready. Ready to go. And he says, live your life like that. Live your life like that. that if Jesus should come tomorrow, next week, whatever it is, that I live my life in the light of that. And here's the other thing. It's not just a negative thing. Thank God. I love his appearing. Listen, it's heaven. It is promised to be better than this life and anything that we have ever experienced for good in this life. Heaven is incomparably better than that. All of it. I mean, heaven's going to be good. Heaven's going to be good. Heaven is going to be good. Don't forget he's coming back. The Lord is coming. He's returning. Okay, and so the final reminder, am I past time? No, I'm good. I'm past time? Vic, shut up, Vic. So my final reminder is this. Let this characterize your life. Verse 18. But grow in grace and understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let this characterize who you are. That who you are is that what characterizes your life is, you know what? I'm growing in the grace of God that has touched my life. You know what? I'm growing in my intimate relationship with Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior. Let that characterize your life. Let's stand together. Amen. Reminders. I hope you've been reminded this morning. Reminders. Father, thank you. As we're here in your presence and we just heard this word that, Lord, I know that all the things that come to me, I slips right through. But God, I'm grateful that you said I'm giving you my spirit to remind you. And I believe that your Holy Spirit is at work in each one of our lives, each one of the precious people that I have the privilege of preaching to every week. And I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would help us to live out these things as pleasing to our God. Amen. God bless you.